To understand the import of these readings the church has given us this Sunday, I think we have to start with God. That letter to the Hebrews, the author is making a contrast between the first covenant and the second covenant in Christ. The first covenant in Moses was Mount Sinai with the smoke of the volcano and the rumbling and the thunder and the fearfulness of it, and people cowering and like this voice that came from God that was really the noise of the volcano was so frightening that they asked that it not be spoken any longer. That's the first covenant. And in the human way of looking at God and reality, the ancients often portrayed God as fearful and ominous, and that sort of got us in line, scare people into behaving kind of thing. But the new covenant in Christ is very different from that. No, you haven't been invited to Sinai, that rumbling, thunderous expression of God. You've been invited to Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem. And there, God and all of his heavenly hosts, the angels and all of existence, is welcoming you to a banquet, to a wedding feast, to which you are unworthy to come. And yet it doesn't seem to make any difference, because what all of this says about God is he's not waiting for us to become worthy. He invites us while we're still sinners. Christ didn't wait for us to become perfect before he died for us. He died for us while we were still in our sin. And that's the whole point, that God reaches out to the unworthy and welcomes them to the wedding feast. So at the Mass, this is the anticipation of the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. And we are participating in the very divine life of God at this table. And we're going to eat it and we're going to drink it in a few minutes. This communing with God so that we might, as the opening song said, become what we eat. That's a quote from St. Augustine. Become what you eat. In other words, allow yourself to be transformed into the very thing that you're eating and drinking, namely Christ. So if we're invited into divine life, if we're invited into a share in his glory, then that means that we, our attitude and our behavior should somehow look like God. And if God is the great host, then we need to be similar to that. So that's what Jesus is saying to those Pharisees at this dinner party. Two things. The first thing is that if you are invited by God to the wedding banquet, then you need to be generous and open about who you invite to your dinner parties. That you need to be losing yourself in order to gain yourself. So don't invite people who can pay you back. Try to invite people who can't pay you back, just like we are with God. How are we ever going to pay God back for what God has done for us? We can't. It's just pure gift. And the graciousness that God asks of us is to visit that same generosity and that same mercy and compassion on each other. That's all God asks. Doesn't ask us to become perfect or climb some ladder of spiritual success or accomplish certain things. No, he just says, go and do likewise. Okay, and then the second point is, and this ties in with the first reading from Sirach, humble yourself. Seek the last place. And this is Christ. Christ who is God for all eternity was one of the Trinity. In that loving, dying, and rising relationship, that dance of love and life that has been going on for all eternity, at one point in history, took on our human flesh. He took the last place, being crucified on a cross. He took the last place, and then, as a result of his having done that, through the power of the Spirit and the gift of the Father, he's raised to new life and enthroned in glory for all eternity. And he's saying, That's the way we need to be too. If we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to learn how to take the last place. We're going to have to learn how to lose ourselves in order to gain ourselves. We lose our identity, and our identity is this strange true self, false self kind of thing. We're always imagining our identity. We're always making it up. We're always imagining what we should look like before other people. We're always imagining what perfect humanity would be and how I would fit into that. And it's already been imagined for us. And it looks like the cross. And God has a design for each and every one of us. God is wanting to fashion us through grace to be like Him. And we need to let go of our constant fight with God. No, I want to make myself. I'll do this myself, thank you very much. God is saying, I'm just trying to give it to you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove anything. Just accept it as a gift. So here at the Mass, we just, in glorifying God, we find out who we are. In losing ourselves in God, in letting go of everything we think we should be and allowing God to grace us into what God wants us to be, we find our true selves. That's one of the things that Jesus means when he says, losing is winning. Dying is rising. Giving is receiving. I mean, all these things that Jesus is on his lips all the time. This is that strange, paradoxical truth of Christian life that we spend our lives trying to get to or allow it to get to us. It's conversion. It's conversion of heart. The Christian life is learning through a lifelong experience of prayer and grace and trial and failure and sin and reconciliation. It's a lifelong conversion process in which I become Christ. And we all have to own the fact that while we know we're on that road of conversion, we know that we're somewhere in the middle of that, we also know that there's something Pharisaical in each one of us who identifies with the Pharisees in that story, who says, why would I want to take the last place? That makes no human sense. Why would I want to lose? Life is about winning. You know, we all have to own the fact that the world and its logic and its wisdom has a hold on us still. We're feeling drawn to the kingdom. We're feeling drawn to divinity. But our human nature still has a hold on us. And so once again, we come here and we lay all that on the altar along with Christ and we allow it to be transformed. And so in this gradual lifelong process, we're becoming more and more like Christ. We're letting go of our false selves and allowing our true selves to be given to us. And through the lifelong process of this, we're all on the journey. We're all on the way. We don't have to beat ourselves up too bad. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge that we're not there yet. And yet at the same time, we want to allow ourselves to give in to the grace, to give in to the journey, so that one day we will dine at the heavenly banquet.